not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we welcome you this morning to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the evangelization of the lost and the revival of God's people. This broadcast is brought to you by Gospel Dynamite. I'm Alan Mashburn, your speaker, and the interim pastor of Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove, North Carolina. At any given time, I invite you to log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and follow our ministry. Now we invite you to open your Bible as we teach from the Word of God.
You're listening to Gospel Dynamite. Thank you for joining us. We do want to call your attention to our website, www.gospeldynamite.org. On there you'll find a number of resources and much to do and much to say about our ministry. We have video lessons, we have podcasts, and we have merchandise on there that will bless your heart, and we trust that you'll take part in that. We do want to say thank you to those who have supported this ministry. God bless you. It helps keep us on the air, and it also helps keep us in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go into the message of the Word of God. Thank you for joining us on Gospel Dynamite. Again, we want to steer you toward our website. There's many good things on there that will bless your heart and help you in your Christian walk, gospeldynamite.org. We return to Romans chapter 2 and verses 1 through 16 today as we look at God's judgment of the hypocrite. God's judgment of the hypocrite. In the last few messages, we've been considering the wrath of Almighty God. As we saw last week, there are multitudes that choose lives of rebellions and disobedience against God, and these people will be held accountable, and we feel the fury, the full fury, of God's wrath against their sin. However, there are just as many of others who live moral lives. These are people who are outwardly clean and upright, but who are inwardly just as wicked as their evil counterparts. Now, in the verses that we're going to read in just a moment, Paul turns the spotlight of the Word of God on those who are what we might call hypocrites. That is, they are people who would condemn the actions listed in the latter part of chapter 1, but who have no intention of getting right with God themselves. These people look right outwardly, but inwardly they are guilty of many of the same sins of the wicked that are mentioned in chapter 1. Now, in these verses, Paul, the apostle, tells us something about the impending judgment of God against sin. And in doing so, he helps us to understand just what the judgment of God is really about, who will be affected by the judgment of God, and what the results will be. Therefore, let's look in the verses right now in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile.
For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, there are three truths revealed in this passage that will teach us much about the judgment of God in the life of a hypocrite. First, we call your attention to verses 1 through 5. We see the reason of God's judgment. Just as surely as the Lord's wrath will be revealed against all those guilty of openly sinful and wicked lives, we can be sure that it will also be felt by the hypocrite. We all know what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is someone who merely plays a part. They pretend to be something. They pretend to be someone that they're not. God will not hold this kind of person guiltless. One of the reasons God judges the hypocrite is because the hypocrite assumes the place of God in judging the life and conduct of others. It is neither your place or mine to pass judgment on another person, according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. When we judge, we are guilty before God. What really takes the cake is that the hypocrite looks at another person and judges them for what they do, but God says the hypocrite is just as guilty as the person he's judging. Now, they may not be the same things outwardly, but sin begins in the heart, according to Matthew chapter 15 and verses 16 through 20. Jesus made it clear in his preaching that to have sin in your heart was as bad as actually doing the sin. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 38. So let us beware that we never have a hypocritical spirit. It's so easy to have a hypocritical spirit. It comes natural to have a hypocritical spirit. Now, just as the wicked will be judged by God, so too shall the hypocrite be judged by God. In fact, the judgment they will face will be exactly the same. Notice what Paul tells us about this coming judgment in verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Paul is telling us that God's judgment of the hypocrite will be based in the truth of what they are just as surely as his condemnation of those who are openly wicked will be based in the truth of what they are. We must never forget that while man looks on the outside, God looks on the heart. He knows the heart. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7 illustrates that God sees and looks on the heart. Now in verse 3, the power of the evidence lies in the fact that it will surely condemn those who are guilty of judging others of the sins that they themselves are guilty of. The bottom line of all this is the fact that it isn't the state of one's life that is the issue, it is the state of the heart. You and I can be squeaky clean on the outside, but God knows the heart. Unless we are in a vital, living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're doomed to face the judgment of God. Many who sit in the pews of a local church today look down their noses at others because of the way they live, will someday face the undiluted wrath of God because in their hearts they are just as wicked as the people they condemn. Many are like the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. He didn't run off like his younger brother and live a wicked life, but in his heart he was just as rebellious as the other son. In the eyes of God, he was guilty. And verses 4 and 5, these next two verses make the reality of the hypocrite's sinful nature crystal clear. There are three facts revealed here that make the reasons for and behind his judgment plain. Verse 4, he delights in the blessings of God. Now, the words used here to indicate that the hypocrite enjoys the good life, God withholds his judgment, and the hypocrite thinks that the goodness of God is an indication of the favor of God. The truth is, God is merely giving the hypocrite every opportunity to repent. The hypocrite feels that because he isn't guilty, at least outwardly, of the sins of other men, that God must be pleased with his life. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Verse 4 also tells us that he despises the blessings of God. Because the hypocrite misunderstands the blessings of God, he refuses to repent. It is the very goodness of God that should lead men to love him, serve him, and seek a relationship with him, according to 1 John 4 and verse 19. But not the hypocrite. He sees the goodness of God as a stamp of approval on his conduct, and thereby he despises the blessings of God. Folks, we must thank God for his long-suffering and his grace. Thank God for his long-suffering and his grace. Now, the third thing is, in verse 5, he is damned by the blessings of God. Now, verse 5 tells us that the hypocrite, instead of gaining favor with God, is actually storing up wrath and judgment against himself. When the Lord and his grace are taken for granted, the only logical outcome will be that of judgment. Just as surely as the wicked sinner will face his sins in the judgment of God, so too shall the secret sinner. All sin will be revealed and judged by God. Hell will be just as full of hypocrites as it will be of open, blatant sinners. Something horrible to think about, isn't it? Well, those are the reasons for the judgment of God. Now we see in verses 6 through 11 the reality of God's judgment. Reality of God's judgment. In verse 6, we see that it's a personal judgment. According to verse 6, God's judgment in the life of a person is an individual matter. In other words, every person will be judged according to their own merits, their own works. You will not pay for the sins of another, neither will another man pay or be judged for your sins. God's judgment will be fair and tailored to each individual life. Now, the hypocrite tends to want to lump everyone together and condemn them by judging by his own unbiased standard. God, on the other hand, judges men based on what he knows about their hearts, and his knowledge of the human heart is thorough. It is most certain. It has never made a mistake. There is no misjudgment on the part of God. Now, not only is it a personal judgment, but verses 7 through 10, it is a proper judgment. These verses tell us that the person who lives right and seeks the Lord will enjoy the blessings of the Lord, and while the person who denies God and lives for self will receive a proper judgment. It's impossible to get away from the truth, and that is the condition of the heart that matters. Solomon reminded us that however a person fell was how they ended up in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 3. Everything hinges on what a person does with Jesus Christ. Men are never saved by their works. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." However, the traits mentioned here by the Apostle Paul are evidence that the persons pointed out in these verses is a born-again believer. Salvation has always and will always come only through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. It is only through Christ. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what religionists say. Doesn't matter what the Catholic Church says. It matters what God says. And the Bible you're holding in your hand this morning is the Word of God. It is the perfect, holy, unadulterated, inerrant, infallible, indivisible Word of God. Now in verse 11, it is perfect. God's judgment is perfect. Now, this verse simply states that no one receives special treatment from God. No one need think that they will have a carte blanche to do as they please and still be accepted by God. Everyone will be judged by the same criteria. Jesus Christ and their personal relationship to Him. There's no respect of persons with God. He doesn't single out some for heaven and He doesn't single out others for hell. He gives all men opportunity and He always does it fairly. Now in verses 12 through 16, we see the realization of God's judgment. Verse 12, it will focus on a rebellion. The basis for God's judgment is sin. All those who sin will pay the price of the sinner. If they knew the law and sin, they will be judged. If they knew no law and sin, they will still be judged, according to Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 4 and verse 20. The soul that sins, it shall die. The bottom line is pretty clear. God's judgment will be realized by all those who are caught in their sins when they leave this world. That includes every person who has ever or will ever live, according to Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, and Galatians 3 in verse 2. There is just one remedy for sin, and that is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, and many other passages in the Word of God. Now notice verses 13 through 15, it will focus on a reaction. It will focus on a reaction. Someone might be tempted to ask, well, is this really fair? What will be happening to those people who have never been exposed to the Word of God? Will they be still held accountable? The answer to that question is yes, they will. These verses make it very plain that every man has a conscience. Conscience is not a guide to live by, but it's a goad that tells us the difference between right and wrong. When a person allows his conscience to be the guide by which he lives, he's headed for trouble. But when he listens to his conscience as it points out right and wrong, that person can make a moral decision. When Paul is talking about here is the light of God, John chapter 1 and verse 9, every person who is born into this world receives light from God. And that light may be bright or it may be dim, but if a person will follow that light, he will be given more light and he will eventually be brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now certainly men will be judged according to the light they were given. But to reject a little light is just as damning as rejecting a lot of light. However, those of us who have been exposed to much light will face greater judgment if we're not saved. With this in mind, God is fair for judging the heathen. Yes, yes, He's completely fair. They are surrounded by the testimony of the existence of God, according to Psalm 19. They have been given the light of God's Word, God's conscience, and God's work, His handiwork. God's judgment is based on man's reaction to that light. This is why I've always said that I would rather go to hell from the deepest, darkest jungle in Africa than I had to go from a Baptist church pew. The more light you have been exposed to, the more light you are accountable for. Now notice with me in verse 16, we have a focus on a reality. There is coming a day when God will judge all men. A day when all the secrets of men will be proclaimed publicly, according to Luke chapter 12 and verse 3. A day when men will face the reality of what their life was. What will be the basis of this judgment? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man's eternity will rise or fall on what he did with the gospel of grace. On that day, it won't matter about one's accomplishments. It will not matter about one's standing in the community or how you're perceived by others. All that will matter is when that day comes is what you did as a person, what you did with Jesus Christ. Did you receive Him or did you reject Him? Did you fall before him in repentance, or did you cling to your sins and stubbornly refuse to bow before the Lord? Well, a person's eternity depends totally on what they do with Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Revelation 20 verses 11 through 15 is a portion of Scripture that is true in every fiber of its writing. It is true because it is the Word of God. What a horrible end awaits everyone who refuses to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Where do you stand? The Bible says that you're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account for your evil deeds, and you're going to be judged according to your works. You're going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved. And if you're lost, then you're going to be given a judgment at the great white throne. Revelation chapter 20 and verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand, notice with me, stand before God. And the books were opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says cast into the lake of fire. The word actually means that angels will hurl them with great force, with great finality, into the lake of fire. Now the Bible says that the books are going to be opened. I believe the Word of God is going to be the standard of the day. We obviously know that. The Word of God is perfect. It is forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. But there's also going to be a book of remembrance. There's going to be a book of life. And there's going to be a book of remembrance that holds and records all of man's sinful deeds. The Bible says you're going to be judged according to your works. You still don't believe that? Well, suppose you're wrong. Suppose the Bible is true. Suppose this is going to happen. Suppose that God is going to judge you. Because God is going to judge you. You have a coming destruction. And that is at the great white throne judgment. You will be hurled, you will be cast into a lake of fire. You'll be cast into Gehenna. People in hell today are not suffering the full punishment for their sins, for they have not been judged. The Bible says death and hell shall be given up those people, and they will be at the great white throne judgment, and then only will they receive judgment according to their works. Friends, the day is coming in which there will be no time to recant. You can't do like the United States Congress. You cannot reclaim your time. You cannot interrupt the judge. You will only say what you're supposed to say. You will only give an account when you're told to speak by the Creator, who happens to be Jesus Christ, the judge. He will be the judge. The judgment has been given to the Son. At our last study in this text, in Romans chapter 1 and 2, our hearts were stirred to think about those who live their lives in open wickedness before the Lord. Shouldn't we be just as stirred by any life that denies God? The end result is the same. We can more readily accept the hypocrite than we can the homosexual. But at the heart of the matter, They are completely identical. They are Christ rejectors, and they're headed to a devil's hell. God help us to examine our hearts. Are you genuinely saved? Or are you facing the impending judgment of God with nothing more than a hypocrite's heart? Check up and then do what you need to do. God help us to see how real and how serious this matter is. Some of you like sports. Some of you enjoy football. We're in the last quarter. We are in the fourth quarter of the game of life. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Say, preacher, how in the world can you be sure? You see all of the chaos going out in the world. You see everything rushing to a cashless society. You see the world calling for peace. You see the world in total chaos. You see the world screaming for adequate leadership. You're seeing people who are screaming for rights and their entitlements. All of that was prescribed and prophesied by the Word of God. Every particle has been true. Every particle has been on time. Folks, Jesus is coming, just like He said. Just like He said. And I encourage you, I implore you, accept Jesus Christ now, or you will face Him as judge at the great white throne.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.